to build a giant cyborg. Robot parade, robot parade, wave the flag that the robots made. Robot parade, robot parade, robots obey what the children say.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, after a comet damages their shuttle, R2-D2, Colonel Gascon, and the other droids crash on a desolate planet where they must fight make their way across the bewildering expanse of emptiness to carry out their mission. I didn't write anything here. There will be... Well, I guess it was quite fitting I didn't write anything there, because nothing happens in this episode. So I didn't write anything there by accident, so nothing happens. We're talking about a sunny day in the void this week. How you doing, Chris?
It's the Seinfeld of Clone Wars episodes, I guess.
Oh my god! Yes, very much so. Yes. Yeah.
Except Seinfeld was funny.
Yeah, there is. I will admit there was like what a joke or two I kind of laughed at, but it's okay. so much of nothing.
You're easier than me.
I think it just took me by one of them just took me by surprise, and I was just like, "Oh, well, that's dark." Hello, PG-13 for 2 seconds, and now we're back to stupid stuff. Did you have a good week?
Yeah, so far so good. We'll see how this episode goes.
It might ruin your week.
I doubt that. It's going to take more than a Clone Wars episode to ruin my week.
I've had a good week, too. A little crazy.
It takes more than whacking Gascon to break me.
There's no one else who bitches like Gascon. Just, like, start playing Beauty and the Beast in the background. No one bitches like Gaston. No one gripes like Gaston. He's gonna yell at the droids like Gaston. Oh, no. No. Please don't ruin one of my favorite Disney villains. I love Gaston. He's such a good Disney villain because he's normal. And he's a normal guy and he's popular and he invokes mob mentality. Like, that is the scariest Disney villain to me. Like, he's amazing. I love Gaston. He's my favorite. I've had a busy week. One of our key holders is leaving work, so we had to hire a person. I had to interview a person, and now we will start training said person. But I've written 3 chapters on my Thrawn fan fiction.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Oh, God. I've written like 50 pages in a week. It's because I really needed a break from my book, and I've banged out like 50 pages, and Cad Bane's in it now. Like, yay. Yay, Cad Bane! I know, I'm so... Guys, I'm trash, it's fine. Let's not put it in the show notes, but we could.
We'll see what happens.
You don't want to read my fanfiction, Chris?
I'll read your fanfiction.
Will you really? I don't know if I will put you through that. It's kind of trash. It's fine.
Is it classy?
Like classy. Not yet. Not like, yet, it will be.
I like trash.
It's not classy yet, it will be. Oh, there will be some sexy scenes that I'm planning.
Oh dear.
I'm just not there yet. They're still in the meet cute section. Like, they're still in the meet cute section and trying to like figure each other out and stuff. It's meet cute right now.
Oh boy.
So, but pretty soon, probably in 2, 3 maybe chapters, they'll be like just sex, so it'll be fine. So probably by the time this episode comes out,
spoilers.
Yeah, Well, I guess if you really want to read my fan fiction, it's called Forces of Gravity. It's on AO3, which is Archive of Our Own. And my name I made up was Chaos Lydia, that I made up forever ago when I was like 21. And it's called Forces of Gravity. So, yeah, cool. Yay. Yay! Anything to talk about, not this episode, we can read my fan fiction in this episode. I will say it'll probably be better, and that's not me tooting my own horn. I'm just saying that this episode's that bad.
Yeah, write up some Gascon fan fiction.
I wonder if there's Gascon fan fiction.
It would be really gross because he's very tiny.
Let's see.
The things that could happen with Gascon.
Gascon. Search. Okay, no, it's not on AO3. Let's try fanfiction.net. Fanfiction.net. We're just doing a quick search.
Okay. The show that I just edited today had us searching for Thrawn fanfiction. At the beginning of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Chris, I'm so happy you actually had
to look
up.
Spoiler, you found some.
I'm just really happy.
We were looking for Tarkin fanfiction. That's what we were looking for.
Oh, yeah.
And on the one crappy one, you found 44. And on the other one, you found 444.
Can I just say that I'm just... Yeah, so earlier when I was telling... I put on... what's it called, on Facebook, that I was taking a break, and I was just needed a break from writing and stuff, so I was writing fan fiction, and Chris sent me a sexy picture of Thrawn, and then I realized that he actually had to Google sexy Thrawn, and I was really happy that he had to actually Google that just to make
it
joke
good.
To me.
It didn't turn out good.
I bet it turned out really good.
I could have gotten kicked off Facebook for most of the... I picked the tamest picture possible.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm not seeing any Colonel Gascon fan art or fan fiction on fanfiction.net either, so
he'd be like the Ron Jeremy of Star Wars.
The Ron Jeremy, yeah.
I don't know, maybe Jabba the Hutt would be the Ron Jeremy of Star Wars,
you know, but there's gotta be,
he's
like...
kind of too big.
You know, there's... Oh, what if, like, Gascon and Jabba the Hutt fanfiction?
Yeah.
He would just be, like, one of those, like, little things crawling on Mama the Hutt, and, like, Jabba would, like, just throw Gascon at somebody.
You could call it out of sight, out of mind.
And Jabba's just like, that's
anybody
a
anybody who needs titles for their fanfiction, I'm here for you. Hope you get them for free. Everybody else has to pay.
Oh, maybe I'll write a Gascon Jabba the Fan.
Jabba the Fan fiction. And he runs, he's up Jabba's butt, and he runs into Salacious Crumb up there.
And he's just like, oh, he's crawling up Jabba's butt. He's like, that's where Cad Bane went.
Oh.
It's like the Sarlacc, and like Bane's like slowly dying in there.
There's just Big Mac wrappers and stuff like that. All right.
You want to get on to this?
Let's go from that. I guess let's go from one opposite, which is Jabba the Hutt's butt, to the other extreme, which is a sunny day in the void.
Ooh. No, it's still crap.
Yeah, but at least it's
still
bright
crap.
Bright crap. I guess.
I'm so glad
well,
that like.
Crap.
I'm glad I'm not the only one, like, pouring haterade on these episodes, because I was really... On one hand, I was kind of hoping you would like it, so we could, like, go back and forth about it, but at the same time, I'm just like, I'm glad it's not just
me. It's
hard
to like, yeah. Sorry.
I'm so glad it's not just me. Oh, it makes me so happy.
I don't think I could muster it up just for, you know, show, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad, so. All right, here we go. Gene... That was a terrible idea.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh man, hold on, now I need coffee because I was trying to play a bit and it did not work. Alright. A Sunny Day in the Void is the 99th episode. episode 99th, episode 100 next week. I'm very excited because I actually like that episode because it has a character I like, and oh my god, I'm excited. Well, we're not there yet, so in the song. Sunny Day in the Void is the 99th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on December 8th, 2012. It was written by Brent Friedman and directed by Kyle Dunleavy. And there was only one bit of extra information. Weirdly enough, on StarWars.com, this didn't have a episode trivia section, and it's the first one I found that didn't have an episode trivia section. So here we go. Dave Filoni spoke on the Force Cast about this episode, saying, "We do one episode called The Void, which is basically a whole exploration of Mobius and his artwork style, which is a big influence on Star Wars. So it's really abstract, and we're out here on the edge. And it was like the White Room in THX. It was really experimental stuff." Really experimental, Dave Filoni.
Yoda has an experiment ready.
Ooh, Yoda. Do I want to know?
Double blind experiment it is. Everybody put this over your eyes.
And open your mouth.
And a big surprise you will get.
I don't think it's that big. It's more just like a tadpole. Oh, it's big for you, you know.
Yeah.
And, well, I can promise you it's bigger than Darth Vader's because his just got burned off.
Judge me not by my size, do you?
I don't. No, you were like the giant horse hung of your people. I don't even know what that means. Chris is like, fine, whatever.
You're just stalling because you're in the platitude.
Yeah, and oh, I am, aren't I? Look at that. I am. Alright, what's the platitude this week, Yoda?
When all seems hopeless, a true hero gives hope. In bed.
No person gives me to anyone. I give myself. What's that Seal song?
Yeah, you want I don't know.
No. No, there's a K-pop rapper from Korea, and she's like the Nicki Minaj of Korea, and her name is CL.
And she has Seal, the singer.
No, like C like cat, L as in lemon. Her stage name is CL.
I'm not familiar with her work either.
She has a line in one of her songs that goes, "Want me to love you long time?" And I tell him no, and that's how I feel. Like nobody gives me over. And I tell them no. All these girls out of Nagasaki and of Dubai. Sorry, now I'm just going to sing. Yeah.
Well, that note you had in there where he said the abstract stuff on like the White Room in THX. I saw the White Room in THX in there. I definitely saw that, and I actually sort of wrote it off. I didn't make a note of it and wrote it off because I'm like, that's just me. I'm reading too much into it, but.
I don't know what that means. Explain
well, if
it.
You've ever seen THX 1138, it's George Lucas's first feature film.
I thought it was like, you know, I thought it was like that sound company that like an old movie is used to.
It's part of Lucasfilm is THX Sound, but that's all that came from the name of that movie. It was a student film he made, and then it was so good that they gave him money. I think it was basically Francis Ford Coppola's film company gave him money to make it into a full movie. It's got Robert Duvall in it. It's got Donald Pleasance in it. And it's like a dystopian future, you know, where everybody lives underground and, you know, everybody's sort of a drugged, faceless worker. And when you get in trouble, they throw you in the White Room, which is just this giant, giant room that's all white. And you can't see either end of it, so you're just walking in whiteness, basically, in it. The exploration of Mobius and his artwork style, I don't see that at all, and I'm a big fan of Mobius.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit in the color design, from some of his comics, but Mobius is usually not very minimalistic. And what's usually Mobius has is Mobius, like Coruscant, is more like something that you would say would be, you know, visually Mobius inspired.
Yeah.
The bird.
I just quickly googled some of the artwork of his, and I'm just like, nope.
No, there's one picture of a guy
in a desert. Yeah, there's one picture of a guy in the desert that kind of looks like the Void, but even then,
right.
Like, that's.
Yeah, it's I'm definitely getting the THX 1138, but I'm not getting the Mobius at all. So not buying it, Filoni. Not this time.
Not this time. You can eat your hat on that. Don't eat your hat. It's cool. When you need your hat, it's who you are.
I think
he
wears that hat a lot. I really don't think it would be. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's
when
finally seasoned by Dave Filoni's head. I don't know.
When they used to do like weekly things about the episodes, and I would like transcribe it, like in that part of our podcast that was forever ago, there was like a couple like times where he wasn't wearing his hat, and I was just like, oh!
Who is that man?
I was like, it is Dave Filoni. Oh my god! I didn't recognize him like right away. I was just like, oh, it's Dave Filoni. Okay, but yeah,
I always wear a hat because in the winter my head would be cold, and in the summer it would get burnt. So. Like, whenever anybody sees me without a hat, it definitely freaks him out for a second.
My friend Bill, I've never seen him without a ball cap on. And, like, to the point where we used to have... Because this was back when I used to work at Hot Topic and he was my manager. But I have also known Bill since I was in high school. And, like, we've been friends for, like, 15 years. And I've never seen him in 15 years without his hat on. And we used to joke that, like, that's where, like, his superpowers were. Like, if he took off his hat, like, his brain would be exposed. But to make it even more funny, Bill needed a place to stay for Dragon Con, and my best friend had an opening in their room. So Bill slept on the floor, and she told me that he slept with his hat on. And I was just like, he never takes it off.
That's commitment.
I know. So, Dave, I don't think Dave Filoni is to that point yet, so... But I've never seen Bill without his hat. Like I've thought like long and hard about like what's actually under there. Like there might be. It's like I think like Narnia's under there. Like if I could crawl into his head like Steven Universe style and just be like yeah and like going to another world.
He's an alien and there's another face under there or something like that.
Like Voldemort.
Yeah, then he just goes home, takes his hat off, and it's just like finally.
I can breathe again.
Now feed me.
Good. Go into the dark side.
Let's check the mouse traps. I'm hungry.
Ah. Oh no, Bill has ferrets. Don't eat his ferrets. His ferrets are cute, even though I'm deathly scared of ferrets. My mother scarred
me.
The
ferrets probably catch the mice for him. Snakes.
My mother scared me like of ferrets my entire life. Like they're so cute, but I will not touch one.
Why?
Because when I was really little, we went into, like, one of those, like, pet stores in a mall. And there was a ferret, like, box cage thing. And I was like, oh, my God, a ferret. And I was, like, reaching through. And my mom, like, grabbed me and ripped me away. And she was like, it will bite you. They're nasty. They roll in their poop. You'll get diseases and you'll die. And I was little. And I was like, no. So, like, ever since then, like, I can't touch a ferret. Because I'm just like, it's going to bite me. And I'll get diseases. And I'll die. Like, I went into the pet store to pick up some cat food for my cats, and they had little ferrets in the cage. Like, one of the women was just, like, holding a ferret, and she was like, do you want to pet it? And I was like, no. She's like, it's fine. And I was like, okay. And, like, I was shaking when I, like, reached out, and I barely touched it. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. Like, I have a fear of ferrets, but they're so cute. I don't want to be scared of ferrets.
They'll bite you, but it's more of, like, the chew on your – I mean, they will chew on you. They'll bite you a little too hard sometimes. Some of them will. But it's not like, but, you know, it's like, I'm chewing on your hand. So it's something that, like, if you don't want them to chew on your hand, you just take your finger out of their mouth. They're not, like, attacking, biting, for the most part. I mean, ferrets are usually, I love ferrets. They're usually so good-natured and just, like, jovial little critters.
I know. I just... Like I was hanging out with Bill, and he was like, look at my ferrets. And I'm like, okay. And he, like, brought me into the ferret room where they have their, like, little running around tubes and stuff. And I was like, cool. And he's like, I'm going to let them run around now. And I was like, no, don't. No, please. And he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I don't want to do ferrets. They'll kill me. They'll kill me in my sleep pill. And then I wait outside. Like, I see a ferret and I just get super anxious, which is sad because they're so cute.
Well, but you just got, so I mean, that's the thing. That's why you got to handle them, because you're fighting early. What is happening, Hope, is you're fighting early programming on your amygdala in your brain. You know, it's like people will get bit by a dog when they're a little kid, you know. So whenever you see them, your amygdala is going like, burp, burp, danger. So, like, but the more you expose yourself to them and, like, touch them and they don't, like, tear your finger off and eat it, the less that response will happen. I saved you hundreds of dollars in therapy. You know, all you got to do is roll around with some ferrets for a few hours and you'll be fine. No,
I'm just going to stick with my kitties.
Roll around with them right in their poop. They don't care.
I'm just going to stick with my kitties. I like my kitties. My kitties like me. I'm good. Stick with my cats. Act one.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's just a long
Actually, this is my favorite. This is my favorite act of the three. So,
same here. Like, it's the only good act. The rest of the episode's awful.
I'm gonna call it a good act, but this is the act with the good stuff in it.
Yeah,
that's how I'll put it, I guess.
All right, act one.
Act one.
Thanks, Freud.
Sometimes a space cigar is just a cigar.
Last week, R2-D2 joined a group of droids called the D-Squad to infiltrate a separatist ship to steal an encryption code disk thing. The D-Squad includes QTKT, who we call Cutie, N5BZ, who we call Greyjoy, U9C4, who we call Goldie, and WAC47, who goes by WAC. They're also joined by a little frog dick of a man named Colonel Meeber Gascon to lead them. Their mission was successful, and they're on their way back home. On to this week. Greyjoy got his ass kicked last week, and all the droids are working to repair him. Gascon has zero fucks to give for the droid until R2 calls him out on his bullshit. And they get Greyjoy operational again, and he's happy to be a little ironborn. Wack is flying the ship, and the alarms start going off. He hurries to Gascon and tells him that there are comets passing in front of them in hyperspace. Gascon orders Wack to drop them out of hyperspace, and they land right in the comet field. They swerve the ship trying to dodge them, but a comet hits the shuttle, knocking out the power. It's to R2-D2 to the rescue! The droids head out to the outside of the ship and start repairing it while QT watches out for comets. But oh no! They're heading for a huge comet! Oh no! But oh yes, they get the engines running, and just in time they dodge it, but a huge rock takes out part of their wing. QT gets knocked off the ship, but Goldie saves her, falls off, R2 grabs him, and Greyjoy snags R2, making a line of dangling droids behind the ship. Greyjoy and R2 kick it into high gear, wheels squealing, and pull everyone inside. But the ship has lost its stabilizers, and Wack has no choice but to put the ship down on a nearby planet. Everyone is freaking out and beeping frantically, and Gascon just cares about the mission and his promotion, and Wack is pretty much like, don't make me come back there, and crashes the ship on the planet of Apophar. What'd you think of Act 1?
Well, it's the best act of the show, and I was thinking to myself, okay, we might be going uphill from last week, because Wack is slightly less annoying in this part, you know. He's still annoying, but he's kind of toned down a couple notches, you know. At least at this point in it. And I mean, everything that doesn't have to do with Gascon or Wack is pretty cool. The comets look awesome.
Yeah.
They're really simple, but having so many of them and, you know, just sort of, you know, they're very simple and plain when you see them all there, but then as you get closer to them, you can see more details out of them. They're really neat.
And that was one of my notes, too, is that the comet field is so pretty.
It's painterly.
Except for, like, every once in a while, like, a rock would fly by, and it looks just like a holy beach ball bouncing past them.
Right, right.
But, like, in the background, like, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's like a painting. And, you know, the whole, all the, and when all the, it's great, because as soon as that problem, you know, they have a problem with the ship, the astromech droids are like, da-ba-dum, it's time for us to go. Very much like episode one, and boom, they're all on the surface of the ship. And there's just something about the way the physics look of, you know, you have the camera on them on the outer surface of the ship. So it's following them on an outer surface of the ship. So it has to stay stable with them. And you've got, like, their whole background changing all the time because the ship's sort of tumbling and moving through space. So it just has a really neat feel to it. That was also something in episode one. There was a scene with R2 and a bunch of other astromechs on the top of, you know, the one ship from of Amidala's, and you know, it just looks really neat. And the, you know, it's sort of a trope and a little corny where they're all, you know, there's a chain of them all having to, like, pull themselves in and stuff, but that just by virtue of how well it was shot and the music, it was a nice little scene. It had a nice little amount of tension, and you figured one of those droids could get destroyed. So
yeah, I mean, that was about the most stakes we had at the episode. Like, that was the highest stakes, was, oh my god, QT's flying off the ship, they have to save her.
But, you know, but a lot of the stuff that I hated from the last episode is, you know, it's starting to rear its ugly head in here. There's a few dumb lines from Whack, and the one scene...
Mine is, like, Gascon is, like, freaking out and doing nothing, and, like, just sitting there pretty much going, wah!
He's doing a Homer... My note on that is on that same scene. He's, like, doing a Homer Simpson. He's, like, going, woo, 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 you know? And it's cheesy, you know? I know he's kind of a buffoon, but at the same time, we also saw in the last... We saw him and Whack in the last episode sort of, you know, actually show their stuff under pressure, and now all of a sudden they're comedy buffoons under pressure. So yeah, it's that was the stuff in the first part where I was like, okay, we're still in that arc. But yeah. Visually and, you know, just action wise and music wise and editing wise, it was a decent first part.
I did like some of the parts where, like, the glass was cracking, like, and Gascon was looking out, and you could see the droids outside the ship because he was looking out at them. Those were some nice shots as well.
Yeah, it was visually really nice. That's all I really have for notes.
The only two notes that I have for that wasn't the comments were pretty. There's a scene where, like, Whack is flying the ship, but he's so small that he's, like, can't even see over the dashboard.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a tiny guy, and, like, the dashboard is higher than his head, and I'm sitting here going,
he's checking out control panels, and it would be like us, like, looking at a giant, you know, wall-sized TV screen.
Yeah, and I was just like, how is he flying the ship? And the other thing that I thought was interesting is when all the alarms are going off, and they're like, we're coming towards comets, Gascon jumps up on top of the dash, and hyperspace is red. It's red, and I, like, has hyperspace ever been red?
It's usually that sort of blue-white sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
like, it was, like, a bright red.
Where they were passing through, or maybe it has something to do with the speed or something like that. I don't know why they chose that.
Yeah, and I that was the thing. Like, I can't recall hyperspace in any other time of Star Wars being red. And I wasn't sure if it was, like, maybe they were just looking through, like, tinted glass, because even when they slowed down, it turned white again, and then they were in the comet field. And I really would wonder, like, if for example, if Dave Filoni was sitting here with us recording this episode, I'm sorry, Dave Filoni, because we'd be iterating all over it. But I'd be like, you know, why did you choose red in that one moment? Because the only other thing I could think of was, like, a spectrum shift. Because, you know, when it comes to, like, spectrums in space and stuff, if something's going away from you, it's blue. blue and towards you, it's red. If it's not that, it's the opposite, where it's red if it's going away from you, or blue if it's coming towards you. But, like, that's a spectrum thing in space. And that's how they can tell, like, a red spectrums and blue spectrums. That's how they can tell, like, if something is coming towards Earth or going away from Earth. And so I was wondering if there was something like that, but then wouldn't we see that more in Star Wars if there was more,
it's almost like maybe they had a really cheap ship or something, and it was going in like sub hyperspace or something that's not quite as fast, so it's traveling at the red speed, you know, the speed of red instead of the speed of blue, which it probably doesn't make any scientific sense. And you just gave me this idea with him flying the ship, or whack flying the ship, or even more so with Gascon flying the ship. You would think, okay, in the Star Wars universe, you have ships, and you would think that there would probably be, okay, so you have your control panels in your cockpit. Why wouldn't they make, like, just in case, like, whoever has to fly the ship is a little tiny alien like Gascon or a tiny robot, you know, why not make a set of tiny controls that come out, you know, that you broop and it comes out of the wall. It's like a little shoebox that comes out and you can sit in and have a little mini, you know, mini view out the front and control everything like that. If you're a tiny
seat.
Alien, because you'd think
like an alien booster seat.
Yeah. Just with a whole other little control in it, just in case whoever has to pilot the ship is, you know, 14 inches tall or whatever, which is a possibility in Star Wars, you know.
We need more alien booster seats. I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Like, what did they used to call them in the movie theaters? Booster buddies.
Booster buddies? Oh, no, it just got creepy. I just imagine a child sitting on Yoda's lap. Ew.
No.
Ew.
No.
Yoda, no. Do we need to get the spray bottle out from the kid arc?
My brain just rejected that.
A wet blanket just appears around a corner with a wet blanket, just like... I'm here. Well, Act 2.
Let's get onto this wonderful planet.
Oh, the void. Act 2. There is literally nothing on Abafar, except for white plains and a yellow sky. That's it. That's all there is. There's nothing. The droids leave the ship, R2 making sure to grab the encryption module. Gascon blames the droids because, you know, they totally put a comet field in their path because they're capable of doing that because they're just shut up, Gascon. Stop blaming things. Gascon wants them to stay put and wait for help, and R2 is like, sure, Jan, and rolls away. He even taunts Gascon with the encryption chip because R2 is the best. And the droids are like, yeah, R2 seems legit, and follow him into the desert. Gascon is all blubbering and yelling, and he hops on Greyjoy to follow them. They roll through the desert with Gascon bitching and moaning the entire time, blaming the droids every chance he gets. And it's their fault that there is no sun. It's their fault that they're going straight. It's their fault that they're in this mess. And Gascon says they have to rely on his training since droids don't have any, like, fighting experience. And R2 is like, bitch, please. I've been in a bajillion more battles than you. And just so you know, guys, I actually went through R2's Wikipedia page. So let's just compare. Here's a short list up to this point of how much more fighting experience R2 has over Gascon. He fought at the invasion of Naboo, the defense of Christophsis, the battle of the Malevolence. He beat up and killed Goldie on Ordo Plutona. He was at the liberation of Ryloth. He took on Cad Bane in a zero-gravity space fight. He fought a Zilla Beast. He fought off Bounty Hunters to save Wet Blanket Windu and Anakin Skywalker from Aura Sing and Boba Fett. He survived the Citadel and led droids at the Citadel. Let's throw that one in there. He went on a wild and crazy space road trip with C-3PO and murdered a couple people on that trip. He fought some Zygerian slaves. He helped Ahsoka and Lux Bonteri escape Death Watch. And the last arc, he helped Ahsoka save some younglings from Hondo and General Grievous. All Gascon has done is read a fucking map at Geonosis. So he can just shut up about R2 not having experience in battle. And for good measures, Gascon throws his empty water bottle at QT for no good reason, other than the fact that he's a tiny little dick. And then Gascon rants more about how he's right and they're wrong, and holy crap, where are the tracks? They have no footprints. Where are their footprints? They're not here because this planet has fucking nothing. And Wack just points out that there are no tracks, so now they can't find their ship anymore. And R2 picks up something on his scanner, and they see another ship off in the distance. And Gascon races for it, thinking it's their ship. But it's not. They find a dead guy and a bunch of discarded broken droids. And R2 sassily says, "Well, this is why we don't stay with the ship." And Gascon cries salty tears. I had to, like, pad out Act 2, because all Act 2 was Gaston bitching and moaning as he rolled through a desert. So I had to pad out Act 2, or else that would have been maybe a quarter of a page.
Nothing happens except for a bad story. If there's no sun, why for it so hot?
Yeah, it's just because we saw them coming through clouds. They just can't see the sun through the clouds.
I guess it's just so diffused or something. Here's another thing. Oh no, they can't see their footprints? Well, wouldn't any droid, even if they don't have navigational capability, which I think they would have anyway, you know, beyond looking at the sun.
Everybody but Wack has navigation abilities.
Right. So, if you're a robot, you know, if you're your computer is logging everything that it's doing for a certain amount of time. So if they rolled from the ship to wherever they are, all they would have to do is, turn around and move in the opposite direction. You know what I mean? They should have all their route. And R2-D2 also basically plotted their course as a straight line. So the way back to the ship is going to be either back or forward. Is going to lead you to the ship, you know. So you don't need your footprints or something. You just need the droids all going in the same direction. And if you want to go back, you turn them around 180 degrees and you go in another straight line. Done and done and done, you know. So, there's all this, like, freaking out about, you know, basic stuff that it's like, I'm not trained tactically or, you know, as a tracker or anything, but I would be pretty confident that they wouldn't get lost. I do sort of question why they would want to look. It's obviously just sort of this weird, like, desert salt sort of planet thing.
It actually kind of, I will say, reminded me a little bit of Crate.
A little bit, but it obviously has nothing on it. So, you know, I don't know. I don't, you know, I mean, we will know at the end whether R2, you know, at the end that R2 had a, was right about going, but it's, you're right, nothing. Nothing happens, and what does happen is a lot of just, like, dumb comedy dialogue. So much comedy dialogue, and, like, and even Laurel and Hardy lines, you know, this is a fine mess you got us into type of thing.
Actually, one of my notes is, Gascon would be amazing on a reality television show. He's so dramatic. And I thought automatically of... like Gascon's Drag Race, like he's like the new RuPaul because he's so dramatic.
Like, yeah, you'd want like Gascon and like Hondo and even though he's dead, what's Zero the Hutt, you know?
Imagine like all these crazy characters, and there's like Cad Bane, and he's just like staring at the camera, like, why the fuck am I here? You know that episode of Doctor Who? Where it was the Christopher Eccleston episode, and they were on a reality television show, and like he just sits in like the venting booth, and he's just like, what is happening? Like, that is how I imagine Cad Bane would be on a reality TV show. He'd just be like sitting there in like the venting booth.
He would be in. There's no way you could get Cad Bane to like volunteer for a reality show. Like Hondo would in a second.
It would be like the Doctor Who episode. Like he had to participate or die, and he'd just be like sitting there, arms crossed, just like
right. There's plenty of people that would willingly, you know, size noodles would be good for it.
Can we make this show? Oh my god, it's like Big Brother with like the most off-kiltered like Star Wars character, like the Zillow Beast shows up.
Throwing a couple Jawas just for shits and giggles.
A couple battle droids.
Oh god, yeah, the battle droids would be like the servants in the house.
They'd be like,
I got your coffee, whoa, sorry.
Everyone's so mean to me. Everyone's so catty. I think battle
droids
hate
you. Oh my god, Greevy.
Grievy, no, he would just
Palpatine, Sice Noodles, Zero.
Dooku would be like, Dooku would just be like binge drinking all the wine.
Dooku would be another one like Cad Bane that you'd have to have some sort of like dirt on him, or you know, have him under some sort of duress to have him on. But
like
Palpatine would do it.
Up.
Palpatine would love it, man. Palpatine would get everybody fighting each other, and
I think like Savage would just be there because he's like, nobody loves me. My brother doesn't love me, so I decided to do this to prove that I'm worth something. If I can win the competition, I'll win my brother's love.
You know, like,
oh my God.
Palpatine will be in the isolation room, just like, my plan is coming along perfectly. Soon Gascon and Sice Noodles will be lovers.
Yes, and then I will make them betray each other when we have to race for the Tiki Torch.
I know Zero has his eyes on Gascon. I will use that to my advantage, and I will have all the peanut butter in the house for myself. I will have the master bedroom this season.
Please make a fan video of this. Oh my god! I mean, well, there's like some poor clone there, and he's just like,
all I am
so
asking is that some of you people would pick up your socks off the ground.
The poor clone is like, this is still better than the war, guys. The war. Oh my god. And like, it's hosted by like Wet Blanket Windu, and he's like,
you should have
all y'all
all
need
clone,
to pick
an all clone one that would be like Jersey Shore.
They're like, Rex is like fist pumping like Jersey Shore style, like yeah,
going out
and like
starting
five,
fights and stuff,
and Fives is just like drunk on the counter, and Echo is just like telling him how his liver is just like breaking down on him, and 99 is just like cleaning up all their bottles because he's like house dad.
Yep.
Oh my god, please someone write this. Oh man!
It's only a matter of time.
If anybody writes that, just link back to this episode. And be like, you know, it was their idea first.
That's all I had on this really slim part.
I will say about Gascon, because like with all his dramatics and stuff, Stephen Stanton is his voice, and Stephen Stanton is the voice of Tarkin and AP5 and Old Ben Kenobi and Rebels. And I do feel like Stephen Stanton had a lot of fun with this. Like, there's a lot of variation in his voice. Like, I feel like him as a voice actor, it sounds like he had a lot of fun with this character. So I do have to give him that.
Yeah, I think he was having fun. I think probably the director told him to have some fun. I would have had the director dial him back a little more. I'll bet, you know, judging by what he's done earlier with his other roles.
I mean,
he's
Gascon
not over
is
the,
very,
he's, he does he's not yeah. prone towards going over the top. So, I have
yeah,
a feeling
I mean,
that they were just like, no, think. That, obviously, that there was a lot of talk of like, think Three Stooges, think Laurel and Hardy, and Gascon being the. Being, you know, Oliver Hardy, basically, you know, he being the angry, stuffy one, you know, stuffy person that everybody else, that plays a stooge to everybody else. Yeah.
It's just like, Gascon is just such a different character than, say, like, Tarkin. I mean, I do enjoy listening to Steven Stanton getting a different kind of character.
He's like a character from a different galaxy, though.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, like, I like when I can hear voice actors, like, have that kind of different range, because, like, Gascon's just a very different character from Tarkin, and they both have different deliveries, different, like, parts of their voice, and, like, that's something that always fascinates me with voice actors. Like, I always use, like, Tara Strong as the example. Tara Strong, who's one of my favorite voice actresses, is Bubbles in the original Powerpuff Girls and Raven in Teen Titans. And that's a huge range right there. Like, they are the completely opposite ends of not only vocal range, but just characters. And I love when voice actors get to do stuff like that. So, like, I do appreciate, like, hearing Steven Stanton with a guest gone, because it's just so different from Tarkin and old Ben Kenobi and AP5.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy that aspect of it. That's about the most of I enjoy this episode.
All right, I guess I'll let you say that much nice stuff this time.
One of my notes is, oh my god, can one of the droids roll over Gascon? And I still stand by what I said last week, which
couldn't
is
he just
I wish
be a little green splotch on R2's chest like that other guy.
Yeah, but I still stand by what I said last week, is I just wish these episodes were, like, non-speaking and it was just the droids rolling around, because yes. Even then I feel like if this was
I
like,
feel
and
that WAC was provided to have to be the voice of the droids, and I really wish they
but
would have tried harder
okay.
with the writing, and I think that they could have communicated everything that WAC did in English with Gascon, like, arguing with the droids and you figuring out what the droids are saying through Gascon's side of the conversation. You know, I mean, that's a standard Star Wars thing.
I will say, though, and I could go with this argument, because I usually watch these episodes with subtitles, that way I can pick up spelling and stuff and how things are spelled. And so when I watch these episodes with subtitles, a lot of times when the droids are speaking, it just says, like, R2 beeping or like BZ warbling. But, like, you can't hear those, like, little sounds like R2 going, like,
yeah,
woo.
Right. The emotive
if someone was deaf, this would be a very difficult episode if there was non-speaking roles.
They wouldn't
be able to catch those.
It would be Gascon would do the speaking, and he would go, what do you know, burr, 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 burr. What do you mean I've been programmed? You know, you guys are the ones that are programmed. I'm blah, blah, blah. I do training. You know, blah, blah, blah. They did it. Burr, burr, burr. Shut up. That is not programming. You know, you could have done that, and deaf people could have read. Anybody hearing Gascon's or reading his dialogue could pick up what the droids are saying, you know?
Okay, because I was saying, like, just cut out WAC and Gascon altogether. That would be difficult.
They're what I hate about this whole thing. They are the element that sucks about this whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like we could have done with one or the other. I mean, I would be okay with, like, either just WAC or just Gascon. And I out of the two of them, I would want to keep Gascon.
I would take Gascon over WAC. WAC's just too much. Gascon is too much, too, but at least he's something different. I like having a little stumpy, tiny micro character and I like the idea that he sits inside a droid and travels around. That would be fun. But, yeah. But I would just as soon be done with both of them.
Yeah. Though I will say, there was one sneaky little line that caught me off guard, and I thought it was hilarious, where, like, WAC suggested that he, like, when Gascon dies, that he'll be the leader. And I was just like, oh, WAC.
That was a snapback from last episode when Gascon was just like, some of you might not make it, and looked at WAC, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, Darth WAC.
Yeah.
Cue the music, Chris.
He's definitely
has a dark side.
Well, yeah, no, he's motivated to move up in the world.
Darth WAC. Play the music right here, like, rawr, rawr, rawr. Are you playing the music? Probably.
No, I'm playing the music. You don't even have to tell me to play the music, and I play the music.
I just wanted to. We so rarely get to play the music anymore. I'll take any chance to like.
That's
play the music.
A kind of a good thing in some ways.
Yeah, it means we haven't had a lot of Darth Jar Jar.
Exactly.
Darth Jar Jar. Well, technically, Gaston was based on early Jar Jar Binks drawing, so. Darth Gaston!
He's got that Sith DNA in him. Yep.
Yep. Alright. Well, are you ready to wrap this puppy up?
Yeah, am I?
I can honestly fit all of Act 3 on, like, without scrolling.
If I was so a droid, my name would be M.I.
I thought you said Emma, and then I realized what you said. Hi, Emma. Emma. Oh, what's about time is ending. I'm sad. Anyway. All right. Act 3?
Act 3.
Okay. Act 3. Gascon climbs to the top of the ship to try and see anything. And Wack hopes Gascon jumps off. So then everyone will jumps off so he can take over. But everyone votes R2 to lead the mission because they're smart droids. But Wack is against it, saying, "No, you guys are astromechs, so therefore no votes for you." And Gascon sees a village in the distance and runs for it, leaving a really confused group of droids behind him. It turns out to be a mirage. And Gascon is devastated, and Wack said that he should have just committed suicide, because wow, Wack is now the new villain of the show. And Gascon completely snaps, and he is laughing maniacally and doing backflips around the desert. And finally R2 is just like, whatever, and he leads the droids away, leaving Wack and Gascon behind. And Gascon thinks he's dead and in limbo with Wack, and he even starts monologuing about how life is a void. And this episode is a metaphor, and the only sure thing is death, and it's a void and crap. And Wack just looks at the camera like he's on The Office. But Gascon has a change of heart and a small epiphany of sorts, and will try and find another solution, because Wack is straightforward, and he's like, "You're right, Wack, we need to change our programming and stuff, so let's find a solution." But they don't find the solution. They just get Deus Ex Machina birds. Because right at that moment, a stampede of Void Striders just happened to be running by. And they hop on the birds and ride them to an actual town. And Gascon realizes that the birds knew how to survive in the void and would lead them to water or something or to survive or whatever. And the town is built into the ground. And Gascon gazes down to see that R2 and the other droids already made it there. And he is pissed that if he had actually gone with R2, they would have been out of the void faster. But Gascon promotes Wack to corporal, and the droid gets a big old head. But it's okay, because R2-D2 still ignores him. The end.
Oof. Yeah. In Clone Wars, solution does... You do not find solution. Solution find you. All the stuff they've sort of covered in this episode, idea-wise and story-wise, like with, you know, droids being smart enough to do something and all that stuff has been done before and done better. And now it's being done, but it's done in almost a dumbed-down kiddie way. So it's just like, you know, there's nothing... I know they're being experimental, but it's definitely a failed experiment. And there's, you know, the presentation is new, but the content is, like, kind of watered down. And this is...
That was actually one of my questions for you. This is supposed to be an experimental episode, and do you feel like it's successful? Because... I feel like other episodes did experimentation much better. I mean, look at the Zillow Beast episode. Yeah. It's a fucking monster movie.
Anything with the Night Sisters in it. All of that stuff that was just kind of wacky, and the stories with Zero the Hutt and Mama the Hutt and stuff. But they embraced the wackiness. This embraces the wackiness, but in too wacky of... It's not real wackiness, like weirdness. It's wackiness and like slapstick. And it's too kitty down slapstick, and it sort of just dumbs down the whole Clone Wars thing. So I was not into it too much. And this act, of course, focuses on my two least favorite characters, who at least are humiliated at the end when they find out that the droids are just like, oh, where have you guys been? You know? Mm. And, yeah, it was... I mean, I thought the birds were kind of neat. I thought that, like, the way they were riding the birds was visually kind of interesting.
You know, I just thought of something. If there's no footprints to leave, like, in dust, how are the birds kicking up dust?
Oh, that's a good question.
If there's, like, they can't leave footprints, so what are the birds kicking up?
Well, maybe just because the birds are running and, like, stomping their feet and they're bigger, you know, they're bigger than the droids that, like...
They have to be lighter than, like, R2-D2.
Yeah, they should be because they're birds, but they're non-flying birds, too. So they might be like a...
Like an ostrich?
An ostrich,
like, really
with a big old dense, you know, center body on them, you know. That's the kind of stuff I don't really care about as much because it's visually pretty, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, yeah. That's all I got for this. Meh.
Yeah, give me the Zilla Beast back, man.
Yeah.
That was a good experiment. Like,
yeah.
Or something like the episode Bounty Hunters, which was...
All of
just
those had... See, all of those had sort of a genre to hang everything on, you know, a frame of
yeah.
a genre to hang everything on. This one...
Like the episode Bounty Hunters, it was a samurai movie. It was an ode to
yeah.
samurai movies.
And yes, THX-1138 was an experimental movie, and that, so is this. But if you're gonna do, you know, just characters in a void, make it more interesting. Don't make it just slapstick. You know, when he goes crazy, he basically turns into Daffy Duck. You know, he's basically doing the Daffy Duck, like woohoo, woohoo, woo, and yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I guess if I was in the right mood.
No, that's bad. I mean, I had mentioned this episode earlier, and I remember we had a Facebook comic that somebody was like, God, I hate those episodes. Like, it's not just us. Like, we've had our listeners say in Facebook comments that they
yeah.
hate these episodes. I mean, okay. So
yeah, I mean,
me,
I mean, a little kid might like it more, but then again, if a little kid was following around Clone Wars, don't you think... You know, I don't know. Maybe they were thinking, like, towards the end of Clone Wars here, that they were like, maybe we should try to transform this into something for a younger audience, because they seem to be experimenting with that more this season.
No, because I could see that, like, I don't mind the kid arc, and I still don't mind the kid arc as much. But, like, just looking at the rest of the season, like, what comes after this, like...
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, I haven't seen what comes after this, but
after
so far...
After this arc, it never gets bright again. Like, no. there's death and destruction, oh my god, fucking Ahsoka, oh my god, Ahsoka feelings, and then you get to the last missions, and it's just like, rip my fucking heart out, why don't you, Dave Filoni, because stop fucking with my clones. And then we get, like, Anakin and Padme drama, and then we get Jar Jar fucking a girl with Mace Windu, and then we get, like, a very mythological...
Just sloth right over that.
And then we get, like, mythology force stuff with Yoda. Like, that's the end of the show. Like, we have 1, 2, 3, 4... Let me go back to season 5. 4, 5, 6 really fucking good arcs before we finish Clone Wars, and they're all dark and they're all gritty, and so I'm just like, why are we doing this bullshit? This arc right here keeps this from being my favorite season, is like this arc right here, because I can even like be okay with the kids arc, because there's a lot of stuff in the kids arc I really like, but between like the Onderon arc with Saul Guerrera, I'm okay with the kids because I like it, and then we're about to go back to Mandalore, and then the Ahsoka stuff. This is a really good season. It's this arc that pulls it down that makes this not my favorite season. This
and
arc
it's
right
like
here.
Right slap in the middle of it, too.
Yeah, it really is. Like, this is just, ugh. Though I will say, like, maybe because they're in the middle of a void and there's not things that Whack can run into, I like him a little bit better this episode because I actually like some of his little quips. Like, he surprised me when he told Gascon that he was like, you should have killed yourself, sir. I was just like, oh. So, like, some of his little quips got me, and I did laugh at them. So he wasn't quite as annoying because there aren't things he can physically run into like he did last time, so it wasn't as physically slapsticky. Yeah. But on the backside of that, Gascon is now physically slapsticky.
Yes, right, yes.
So it was a trade. So, like, what Gascon got worse, Wack got just a little better for me. And I will say, I completely forgot about the Void Striders. Like, they're really cute. Like, I forgot that they were even in the episode, and that's how they got out of the situation.
A little bit of a preview of Last Jedi, in a way.
And they were just really cute bird creatures. And, like the one that was, like, rubbing Wag's head, I was like, you're really cute! Aww! That was probably the highlight for me, which was the birds. The Deus Ex bird dinas. Okay, so my last note. Here's the thing. This is my least favorite episode of Clone Wars, hands down. Like, I will happily watch... I will watch Grievous Intrigue again. And we did not like that episode. I will watch... Yeah. Political crap of season 3 before I watch this episode. This is my least favorite episode of Clone Wars. But that being said, I've only seen this episode once, and it was a few years ago, and I just never brought myself to watch it again because I knew we'd be doing it here. So on a second viewing, this being my second viewing, I didn't mind it as much. That being said, it's still not good. It's just nothing for 22 minutes. It's nothing for 22 minutes, and even though I like some of Wack's little quips like caught me off guard and stuff, it's just not good. But I will say it's better than what I was anticipating, because I was anticipating I was very tempted to write nothing for Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3, because I knew that nothing happened. Just being like, Act 1
3 minutes of silence.
What'd you think of Act 1, Chris? Like, I was so tempted to do that. But I will say that it was a touch better than I thought it was going to be, but it is still bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my worst yet, but I'll have to go back and look. I wrote Grievous Intrigue. And
I will happily watch juggling Jar Jar than watching Gascon cry in a void.
Okay.
All right. I mean, if you had would you watch juggling Jar Jar?
It does sort of make juggling Jar Jar look a little better, but it doesn't make him look good.
Yeah. What I mean, let's see. What was another episode we hated? There's one episode that we had like a knockout dragon about because I really liked it and you really hated it. I forget. But yeah, like, I will happily take juggling Jar Jar over this episode any day. Any day. Well, that's all I have. You want to score it up, Chris?
I think this is... Here comes the most dramatic part of more dramatic than anything in this show. Episode, anyway. Not in this show, in this episode. I am going to give it... This being your least liked Clone Wars episode, I'm very surprised. I gave it a 5.5. I'm half a point below you.
I almost scored it a 5. I almost did.
I'm not impressed by this one. And it would have probably gotten a 5 if it hadn't been for the first act. The first act was gave it some redeeming points. So 5.5 puts it over the 50th percentile.
Yeah.
But, yeah, faint praise.
For me, the reason... I gave it a 6 out of 10. I almost scored it a 5. Because I was expecting to score it a 5.
I was expecting you to be, like, between 4.5 and 5.5 was what I was expecting to see.
And the only reason I scored it a 6 was because... It surprised me that I enjoyed this episode a little bit more than I thought I would. And that's not saying a lot, because nothing happens. And Gascon is just so over-the-top dramatic. But I will say, also, I will say Steven Stanton's voice work saved me on this one, too, because I really did enjoy his voice work for Gascon, because it's so drastically different from AP5 and Tarkin. And so I did appreciate him being able to do a different kind of character. And the opening act, it's beautiful. The comet field is absolutely beautiful. But then we go into the lack of the void, and there's nothing there. So yeah. it's just a mediocre episode. So, you know what? I'll meet you halfway. I'll give it a 5.5, you know. I will tie you on that one. I'll give you a 5.5 because, yeah. So 5.5, guys. That's
My schedule of my habit, I have such a stable work schedule now that my habits of watching, you know, doing the homework, recording the episodes, and editing episodes of Jay Guys and Jedi is like such a routine now that like I often don't really, you know, when I'm popping up an I've got the episodes on my computer, so I'll just be like, all right, the next episode, I'll check what number it is, pop it up. I'm really not thinking about any context of it until it starts playing. And when this one, you know, and I was like, okay, time to do the new episode, blah, blah, blah. So it sort of puts me not really at a clean slate, open mind stage, because as soon as the episode got wet, I remember going, oh, yeah.
We're stuck here.
That's right.
Again.
And then, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Hope said this is her least favorite episode. I can't.
Yeah,
is totally reminding me of that.
I will let you know that next week is so much better.
Oh, good.
In Rebels, like, Rex was traveling around with two other clones, and one is Commander Wolf.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the crazy guy, Gregor.
Yes.
We meet Gregor next week.
Ah, okay, cool.
It's Gregor's first appearance, and actually his only appearance in Clone Wars, and you'll see why. And it actually explains why he's crazy. And I really like Gregor a lot. Like, he is probably in my, like, top 10 favorite clones. I think he's just a really cool character, and I really enjoy him. And so next week is a lot better because we have somebody else that's not Gascon and Wack talking.
Thank God.
And so, and I also just think Gregor's just a very interesting character. So next week is hands down probably the best, and it's the 100th episode of Clone Wars. And so I next week is my favorite of the arc, and then we have one more after that, which, if I remember correctly, isn't as bad either. This is by far the worst of the four. I don't think it's been a few years since I've seen the last episode of this arc, and. But it does have action. I do remember that it has some action.
Well, I'm glad we've gotten over that hump then.
Yeah, like we've gotten over the worst of this arc, and it's pretty
the worst of the show, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty
for
smooth
you,
sailing
at least.
to the end of the arcs or to the end of the show. It's really cool from here on out. So. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. Actually, when I was doing this notes, I noticed that we haven't had an iTunes review in exactly 1 year. It's been a year.
Here's some interesting information. Mike, our web host, I had him adding another podcast, Charlie Niedermeyer's Charlie's Geek Cast, to the Two True Freaks family. But in the course of doing that, he had forgotten our passwords into iTunes and then re-remembered them and gotten in there. But we were talking about iTunes, and I said, oh, yeah, now that I got the password from you, I should check in there someday because they have analytics on iTunes. And, you know, and when I said that to him, I think it made, you know, pushed a nerd button in him where he's like, ooh, I'm going to go check that out. So he sent me, like, you know, the recent stats of shows and the number of downloads from iTunes. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, way more of our downloads look like they come from the Two True Freaks website than iTunes. It seems like more people subscribe to us and download from through the Two True Freaks website than iTunes, which is very surprising to me.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I use iTunes when I listen to our podcasts, mostly just because
I thought most people did.
Yeah, because I listen on my phone when I drive, and I have an iPhone, so I just download it to my iTunes app on my phone. So I'm actually, like, really surprised to hear that.
Yep,
so, you know,
I was
what?
Too.
Maybe maybe rating and reviewing us on iTunes does not help people find the show.
Oh, well, it does. It's not going to hurt, that's for sure. And I like to see reviews, positive or negative, so they should still do that.
I would love to see that, too.
Or iTunes analytics could be completely crappy and not recording. And, you know, it could be completely inaccurate. So
it's got to be better than our Two True Freaks ones. That only shows us, like, the top episodes.
maybe not. I don't know.
Well, this week our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Tipping Points. Do you want to do a Hope Molinax impression?
I don't know if I can do a Hope Molinax impression.
I was an Iarian this episode.
I'm not saying I won't try.
Oh, my God. Do your worst Hope Molinax impression.
I've just never thought of it.
I argue in this episode that Thrawn's dick is, like, the best of dicks.
The thing about it is, here, you know, Hope, you do have sort of an accent sometimes. And sometimes your accent is very northern. It reminds me of some of the accents from up here, but then there's some southern. Then the southern comes in there too.
You know, it's probably a mix of both my parents, because my dad was born and raised in Georgia, like that's like and stuff like that, and that's where I was born and raised. But my mom was born in Florida, but then lived in West Virginia and then moved back to Florida, and Florida does not have an accent. It is a melting pot.
It's
so
a mishmash, yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably a nice mix of my parents. I know when I get emotional or, like, you know, like, anxious or, like, you know, just start ranting, like, sometimes I slip into a southern accent, and that's probably from my dad. But I do probably get most of my accent from my mom, to be honest.
All right, so Hope Molinex says...
And the reason I put this comment here, because it triggered Patrick's response right afterwards. That's why. So that's why I have my comment
here. She's hoping to trigger Patrick Delmore.
Ha! That's what you get.
Oh,
for being
I know
a
what I
slugger.
Should do. Oh my God, I should do your voice as if you're. I'll do like the Valley Girl voice for you, and then I'll do the Patrick Delmore voice for Patrick Delmore, and it'll be like a teen conversation.
And then like Paul is just there in the background.
Paul's just the guy, you know.
He's the guy that's
this guy, you know.
He just photobombs our comments.
The photobomber, the Boston photobomber. Okay. Hope Molinex says, I argue on this episode, why is one of the top 10 most important episodes of Clone Wars impacting all the canon that follows it? It's not to be missed. I'm sorry. It's not to be missed. And Chris just agrees in the background.
Oh, Chris.
That's one of the great things about Star Wars, says Patrick Delmore. This story had no impact on me the first time I watched it. I was bugged that it was a four-parter. When Rogue One came out and Hope was so excited that Saw was in the movie, I honestly didn't remember who Saw was. But later, Cannon made something that didn't seem significant important. Whew. That was a hard sentence to say in that voice. I would argue that Clone Wars and the prequels also made Return of the Jedi a more emotional movie.
I would argue Rebels too. Now that we know that like Rex is there, like I can't wait for the day that we do a commentary on Return of the Jedi because I'm just gonna be like, "There's Rex, Rex!" I'm gonna be screaming, Chris, that there's
probably
Rex.
Probably like 150 frames in the whole movie where we'll see him and like we'll figure out where they all are so we can just like put off the alarm every time we see Rex.
Oh my God. And like they've actually changed his Wikipedia page. So now the old guy in Return of the Jedi is now on Rex's Wikipedia page.
Excellent.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. So Paul C. Kelly says, I'm just going to do him in just a regular guy voice. I had a lucky timing of seeing this.
Just a regular guy.
Just
I had
a regular
lucky kind
of guy.
Seeing the last month about. Okay, go ahead.
I had the lucky timing of seeing this last year, about a month after Rogue One came out. Oh, yeah. I did not read ahead about the episode, so got to be surprised at seeing Saw's name pop up on Netflix. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of ahs after seeing
this
that episode.
This is now your official voice, Paul.
Funny this show is for kids, but that was pretty dark. But I guess they made up for it with the Padawan and droid arcs coming up.
Yes.
Hope's favorite, LOL. Actually, the only episode my one-year-old could... You have a one-year-old?
Yeah.
Another growing freak. Another freak mouth to feed. Actually, the only episode my one-year-old could watch was the first episode of the Padawan arc. But at that age, you just gotta be patient about showing Star Wars. Now I'm slipping into, like, John Wayne. I saw Ahsoka encounter in Rebels would be interesting. Yeah, it would.
It would have been. Too bad Rebels is over now and we didn't get it.
Hey, I had an interesting idea on what the new time period, what the new show could be.
What?
What if it took place
road trip?
Between Last Jedi, like Clone Wars, in the same place in the trilogy as the Clone Wars sat with the prequels, in between the last two movies, right?
You mean the hour that passed? That hour of time?
No, not between Force Awakens and this movie. Between Last Jedi and whatever Episode 9 happens to be called.
Oh.
Right? Because here's the thing. They don't have Carrie Fisher, but you could find out what happened to Carrie Fisher in The Princess Leia. And I'm betting there's going to be a few years between. It's not going to be take up the next second after Episode 8. So you would have this whole time period, and instead of the Clone Wars being fought, you would have the Resistance. And that, I guess, is a working title for it, is the Resistance. Or Resistance would be Princess Leia, after losing everybody but her, as far as command goes and tactical goes, training up Finn and Poe and probably a bunch of other generals that, you know, we're going to see for a half second in Episode 9.
You know, but, I could see that because they actually, Carrie Fisher was not the voice actress for Leia in Rebels. They actually have a voice actress for Leia.
Yeah, but that's young Leia. Old Leia's got a whole different, has a whole different thing going on. But they could get someone to do her voice, you know.
They can even get, like, the Rebels voice actress for Leia and she could just play it old.
Just gravel it up. That's the thing, but almost want to get a smoker. She's got a smoker voice. Either way, you could tastefully do Carrie Fisher's voice on that. And then you could have, you know, because obviously if they're not going to have somebody else play Leia and they're not going to do her CGI, they're not going to have Princess Leia in the movie, you know.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say they're not going to have her in the movie. So either she's going to be, they can't have her just like off screen. Oh, Leia says this or that because they built up her character. So we might have, you know, a few seasons of a cartoon where we see Leia getting some of her force, you know, developing some of her force powers, because she does it twice in Last Jedi. And, you know, probably a whole bunch of other, you know, they'll probably do what they did with Clone Wars and have a whole bunch of ancillary characters that aren't going to be main characters in the movies.
You know, though, they could do something
around
like
her.
They could still, like,
she would be like Obi-Wan in Clone Wars.
You know, because they have, like, the cast and stuff like that, and, like, Leia is so connected to Poe Dameron, especially in the comics, I mean, they have the cast. They could easily have, like, Daisy or John Boyega or Oscar Isaac do the voices for their own characters.
That's expensive, but then again, they're probably under some Disney contract. Who knows?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I mean, we've already had John Boyega and Daisy Ridley do Forces of Destiny. I mean,
it depends, you know, they got, I mean, at the same time, they have to also do, you know, they probably want to do stuff that's other, who knows, either way, whether they get the real actors or not, you know, they're still really good at getting voice actors who are, you know, do the part well. So, you know, that's what I think that's what I would do if I was doing.
I know a lot of fans have been, I'm not going to spoil Rebels because I know that some of you guys don't watch the new season of Rebels until it's out on like DVD and Blu-ray and stuff. I will say that the way that Rebels ended, there were two characters who were going off to find another character. And a lot of people have been clamoring already to have that as a show, like their adventures together. Also, there's two characters who get shot off into the end of the galaxy, that people have been clamoring for that to be the next show, like their adventures together, because of whales. And, because of whales.
I'm more attracted to the Princess Leia idea myself.
Yeah,
surprisingly enough.
I would rather see like what happens in book form, especially the two whale characters that I'm not okay with still. I would actually like that to be the third book of a series, because we know that another trilogy is coming out for one specific character, and the second book is coming out this summer. I hope I didn't put anything away, but I would like the third book to be that character and the other character together, and that just be their adventures. I read the shit out of that book. So, what are we eating this week?
I don't know. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to choose from. What do you want to?
And we have three long
and skinnies and two squares, one tiny square and one giant square.
I only have one. Oh, no, there's the little tiny square.
It's tiny. It's hiding in there. That's all.
Let's do one of the big ones, because we keep putting off the big ones.
All right.
Do you want to do the halva? Because I'm holding it. Hey, Joyva. We've had candy from Joyva before, because I recognized the little Sikh dude on it with the mustache.
Oh, you're right. It says a delicious sesame treat.
It's made in Brooklyn, but one of my favorites from the Jewish community. So let's do it. This is gonna be challah.
I like
challah, your boy.
I certainly like sesame.
So if you're wondering what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats because he's a dumb kid.
Oh.
And. Is that paper at the bottom?
It's got like a greasy piece of paper, plastic, like, I don't know if it's plastic or wax paper. I hope it's old-fashioned wax paper. It's like the stiffest wax paper I've ever, it's so greasy.
But anyway, Chris hates American Kit Kat, so our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, he's a flight attendant, and he sends us candy all over the world to review. So this is from Brooklyn, but apparently prominent in the Jewish community. And it's the halva candy bar. So.
Whoa! It's intense, Hope. Just warning you right now, it's intense.
Oh, man.
Wow.
What is the middle of this made of?
It's sesame paste. It is like, I can only describe it.
But it's almost like a peanut butter taste to it.
Well, sesame paste is almost the same idea as peanut butter, especially if you add sugar to it. But has that weird, it's like a Kit Kat, but it's not as crunchy, and it's denser. It's dense.
Mm. Yes, it is.
It reminds me a little of those peanut butter Christmas cookies.
Yeah! Oh, man, my boss makes those every year, and I look forward to them.
But it's,
yeah, the peanut balls?
It's got more of a funky sesame. It's like funky sesame peanut butter, and it's really dry.
But it's not too dry. Like there's some moistness.
It is when I first put it into my mouth, it turned into cement. But I haven't taken a drink or anything, and I've chewed and swallowed that mouthful of it. I took a big chunk out of it, and it sort of melted in my mouth. You know, it started out dry, and then it just sort of melted away in my mouth.
That's super rich, though. I will not be able to finish that one today.
No, I'm going to finish this literally over the next 2 days.
This will
be my dessert for, like, 3 meals, I think.
That's really, really good, though, Dario. Thank you, Brooklyn!
That's like a candy bar I would buy if I was, like, really hungry and I knew that it was going to be a couple hours before I was going to eat a meal.
Yeah.
Because most candy bars, if you eat them when you're really hungry, you'll get that initial burst of energy, and then you'll get, like, low blood sugar and be like, ah, that thing could,
yeah, that's a road trip candy bar.
Yeah. That's a going hiking candy bar.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was really delicious, though. Thank you. Thank you, Dario.
It says a delicious sesame treat on the outside, and it ain't lying.
Mm. Well, where can people find... I'm actually surprised how much time we spent on this episode. I thought it was going to be much shorter.
That's how it always happens. That's how it always goes. You can
find me
at tutufreaks.com, where we've just added a new podcast, as I just said, Charlie's Geekcast. He's uploaded all his old episodes and started already putting up new episodes. So hooray, hurrah. Kalu Kale. I don't know if Charlie's listening right now, but welcome aboard. Again, I've welcomed him aboard already on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, which you can find on Facebook, and also the Two True Freaks Cantina, where people just go to chit-chat, and I've been adding a bunch of... I've seemed to be getting like a couple, three members every day for the Cantina lately, and they all seem to be legit members, you know, like there's some people that you can tell are just sort of a fake Facebook thing trying to make as many connections as they can to like pitch something. But then you pull up someone's profile who's asking to be in the Facebook page and you see their profile picture is like Captain America's shield. It's like, okay,
yeah.
I think this guy is actually here for the geekiness. And, of course, we have a Twitter page, because everybody's got to have a Twitter page, although I never go into that cesspool of a website.
I love it.
Yeah, I know. McGregor's just gotten into it. He's like, I'm going to get a Twitter account and blah, blah, blah. And he's hooked on it. He's giving me stories of Twitter every day. I can't take it. I can't do more than one social media site, or else I'll just explode. So, yeah, you can go see Two True Freaks on Twitter, run by the legendary Gene, the dancing and podcasting machine.
I'm not going to cough this time and do it, because I choked earlier in the episode. So, Gene. I gotta give Gene. Do you have, like, a horn sound effect, like a car horn, like beep, 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 beep?
Well, I don't know if I have one that I can actually, like, play notes on. I wish I had all my keyboards here. I probably have a keyboard that has car horns on.
I actually wish I had that app that has, like, the blow horn. So it's like, bah, 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 bah. So I can just be like, bah, 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 Gene.
Back when I had my iPhone Touch all full of great apps before I messed it all up, I had so many virtual instruments on there, I could have probably done it on, like, the virtual theremin or something like that.
Da, 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 da.
Gene. I would have liked to have done it, like, on, like, a slap bass and done, like, the Seinfeld, like... Bloom, boom, bloom, boom.
Bloom.
What's the story with this guy, Gene? What's his story? Well, where can people find you, Hope? What's your story?
Well, you can find me at JSandJedi and at Hope Molinet on Twitter. I run our Twitter account. I've been a little bit quiet since Rebels has ended, but I've been kind of taking a tiny hiatus from life just to kind of prepare myself for, like, NaNoWriMo next month. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, we've been hiring new people, so I've taken, like, a life hiatus.
Just when Rebels ended, my Ash vs. Evil Dead started up again, so I've been very happy.
See, Timeless started up for me, so that's the thing. Is like, now I'm at Hope Molinax, I've been, like, live tweeting Timeless, so I'm, like, super excited about that.
I love my Ash vs. Evil Dead, and it's only four episodes in, and they've crossed several lines already.
Yeah. But you can also find me at whatthefangirl.com. I'm the news writer for that. But again, I'm taking a little tiny life hiatus at the moment because I need a life hiatus. And I guess
Thrawn hiatus?
Yeah, I was actually about to say that. I guess now you can find me on AO3, which is Archive of Our Own, which is, like, better. Archive of Our Own is,
keep
like,
keep up with that, guys, because it's just about to get steamy in that story.
Yeah,
it's coming.
But I've been talking so long about, like, writing a novel, so I guess if you want to see my work, I will tell you I haven't been editing it very well.
Maybe you'll end up writing a Thrawn fan fiction novel, and then somebody will change all the names, and it'll be like the next, you know...
50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey, exactly.
But for Star Wars? No. If somebody does that, I better damn well get fucking paid for it.
if someone does... Yoga should be in it.
Mm-hmm. AO3 is a cool little site. Like,
50
I'm like,
Shades of Green.
I'm trying to promote my shit. Shut up, Yoda. No, Yoda, I love you. I love you, Yoda.
50 Shades of Green.
No, I will write you 50 Shades of Green.
48 Shades of Green.
Oh, no, no, Yoda, you are like 100 Shades of Green.
20 Shades of Green?
No, you're 100. 100
Shades
I love
of
you,
Green.
Because I love you 100%.
That's two books right there.
I love you 100%, Yoda.
50 Shades of Green and then 51 through 100 Shades of Green.
And no matter how much we have to keep you away from children, you'll never be near my nieces and nephews ever.
No, but I like AO3 because, like, fanfiction.net is just open warfare and, like, everybody can post.
It's a trash fire.
It is, but on AO3, you have to, if you want to submit stuff, you have to be invited. Like, somebody has to invite you to be on it. So, like, you can read work, but you can't, like, comment or submit or something without having an invitation to the site. So, I guess if you guys want an invitation to AO3 to read fanfiction, just hit me up and I'll send you an invite. But it's a little bit more classy, but you can at least read my work. My name is Chaos Lydia under there, and the story is called Forces of Gravity, and it's Thrawn fanfiction. Yay! Yay! It's stretching from...
See, I seem to remember somewhere way off in the past of when we first knew you, Hope Mullinex, that you did... Chaos Lydia sounds totally... Were you ever on the forum that we had way back in the day? You were probably Chaos Lydia in that.
I was. I've used this nickname for ever since middle school. Because my mom was like, never put your real name online. And so I was like, okay, so I'll go by Lydia. And so, yeah, I've used this nickname since middle school. So, if you've seen old boards and you see a Chaos Lydia, it might be me. So. But yeah, my Thrawn fanfiction is on there if you ever want to just read my writing. I can hear our listeners making fun of me so hard right now.
Or rushing off to read the, the juicy
fanfiction. If I had to say anything, I bet Aaron would read it. I can see Aaron right now. I had no plans of reading that. Oh, God, I have to read that now. Oh, my God.
Well,
God.
You're making sure everybody's going to read it now. So,
Okay. So, Paul and Patrick... And Scott McGregor, I'm going to just name everybody. No, guys, you actually don't have to read
Scott
my fan
Scott McGregor, I could see reading your fan fiction. I don't think you're going to get Paul Spataro reading any of it.
I was thinking Paul C. Kelly, but that's okay.
Oh, Paul C. Kelly, maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Guys,
I want book reports from everybody.
But it's there if you want to. I mean, it's going to span to a 15-year period. I've already outlined it, the entire thing, but... Chris said he would read it, so...
I would.
Then we can do a dramatic reading.
I want to read Aaron Henley's novel, but I'm not sure. I have to ask him, and I guess I sort of am asking him right now because he's probably listening. Is there any way that I can order a physical copy of it? Because I just can't read it.
I can't read a whole book
on my computer screen. You know what I mean?
Is it already published?
Yes, it's available on Amazon.
Oh my God! Really?
Yes, he's been on Facebook announcing that. It's been around for Hope. It's been on sale and everything since it came out.
I have not been following anything on Facebook. I really have taken a hiatus from life.
Yeah, no, it's got cover art and everything, but I think it seems to me that you can only get it as an ebook. And I don't have any kind of... If I had a tablet or something, I could do it, you know? Because I could sit down and read on a tablet. But sitting reading text on my computer screen is not a pleasant experience after 10 or 15 pages, you know?
Yeah.
Even a long article that I'm reading, if it's 30 pages long, I have to take a break and not, you know... And it's kind of a slog to work through it on a computer. Maybe the two true freaks should muster up an audio a dramatic audio version audiobook version.
Somebody was talking about that last year. They wanted to do what's it called? Frankenstein. We just never did it.
Or Dracula. It was Gene talking about doing Dracula. That's a massive amount of work.
Yeah, I think when we realized how much of a massive amount of work it was, we were all
I read the book, and I remember how long it took me to read the book. I was it's a lot of text. It would be a massive undertaking. It would be worth doing for sure. It would be probably it would be awesome to do. It would be a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, I think because we were all very excited about it until we actually started talking about logistics, and then it just kind of died.
Yeah.
So I think we all were like, "Yeah, we don't have time for them." So. Well, that's all I have. So next week, 100th episode of Clone Wars.
It gets better. It's uphill from here.
It really, really is. I can't remember how the last episode of Zarks goes, but I feel like it wasn't that bad, if I remember. There's some fighting, so there's at least action. It's not literally rolling around in a void.
Thank God.
Yep. All right, well, I guess until next week... Don't roll around in voids and die in the desert.
See you for episode. It's 100th episode. It's another J Guys and Jedi 100th episode, I guess.
Yeah, only it's Clone Wars 100th episode. It's like what 114.
Hey, this is the 100th episode. The next week will be the 100th episode of Clone Wars that you and I have covered. That means we've done 13 other shows that were in episodes of Clone Wars.
Yeah, and you made it to the 100th episode. What? You made it to the 100th episode.
Yes, I have.
Yay! Go, Chris!
I should hope I would. All right, we'll see you next week. 100.
Bye, guys. 100. 100. You just cut me off somewhere.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
All right, children. The lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? Well, it'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone. But out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.